How many can say, I know my Redeemer lives? Hallelujah. Blessed be his wonderful name. Well, we're sure glad that you're here tonight. Amen. You may be seated for just a moment. Try not to take too much of your time. This is an opening service for a service that we've waited to. Let's see, you might want to give me my phone back. It's electronic age. We've been waiting 2 years, as Brother John mentioned, to have our annual meetings again. And so last year was the first time in, so it would have been 24 years last year, was the first time that we didn't have our annual meetings. And so now this would be our 25th, and so we're just really excited about it and excited to be back in our building. As many of you know, we're preparing to, it's always about chairs, it seems like. There must be a connection there. So Sister Baker and I, we had decided we normally have our meetings out in a neutral place, because it's always been our burden to try to get people together. And sometimes when you have it in your own building, it's people perceive walls or they're maybe uncomfortable. So we've always tried to have kind of a neutral venue and try to stay in the back as much as we can, and just invite some of God's best ministers to come and minister for us. And he's certainly spoiled us. But last year it was just, or 2 years ago, it was on our heart to have the meetings here. And so Sister Baker and I were the last two ones in the building. And of course the police had their day with us. You know, so you were the last two, right? And what time did you leave? But I remember we had arranged the chairs and managed to get 300 chairs arranged. And we had kind of had our arms around one another. It was, well, the next day was Valentine's Day, so I guess it was okay to do that, right? And we would just kind of breathe a sigh of relief. It was, I don't know, 11 o'clock at night or so. Well, tomorrow's our meetings. And we got a call at 4 o'clock in the morning, and our church was on fire. So we got down here, there was a patrolman that was patrolling the neighborhood, and if he hadn't got here sooner, it would have burned to the ground. But he got here in time, and actually he and the other, his associate, started spraying, and of course they called the fire department. We used to have some beautiful glass windows where these arches are, here and here and here, and it was a nice view of the mountains, which you don't need to be looking at when we're preaching. So it was a real nice idea, but, you know, people are watching the woodpecker on the cross and the doves. And anyway, so there was a window right here, and somebody had thrown a gas cocktail or something, the rag in it, threw it in here and burned the building. So then the utility companies came, of course the detective and what have you, and they're trying to figure out what had happened. And all we can think of is today is our day of our meetings. And we've got ministers that are already in town. We've got people that have come from other parts of the country, in some cases other parts of the world. We've got food that's been prepared, you know, arrangements that have been made, and we weren't going to let that stop us. So by God's grace, he's given us some great down-in-the-trenches folks here that just really know how to work and make things happen. And so all the experience that we had of putting things together in the venues out there came in handy, because we were able to, in one day, find another venue, go through all the paperwork, contract, rent instruments, because it was a crime scene, so we couldn't take the instruments we're in here. We even got streaming, and I mean, it was just a ton of things that you have to do, and by God's grace, we were able to do it, and we had some powerful meetings, and my good friend, Brother Donnie Reagan, was with us, and it was real, God knows how to comfort you and encourage you. So we had to just put it in the back of our minds, what are we going to do next Sunday? And just decide, you know, maybe this will be our church, Leo Rich Theater or whatever. We just, all we knew was that the devil wasn't going to burn us out with his fire. We're going to burn him out with our fire. Yeah. So anyway, when the gas company came, the utility companies came, they shut down everything. The gas man detected that we had a gas leak, and it was a pretty substantial one. And he said that, you know, if that fire would have spread, that this whole place could have blown up. And so turned off our gas, and then, of course, it was a long process of getting everything built back up. We had to replace all of our gas lines and just a number of things. But anyway, here we are. And I can't tell you how much opposition we got on closing off these windows, but Albert Einstein said the definition of insanity is to do the same thing and expect a different result. Those windows were around $3,000 a piece, and they got broke three times, and then several of them, and then the last time somebody, you know, tried to burn the church down. So you look at those wood slats there, and you think, why did you do that? Well, it's nice looking, but that's not why we did it. The construction of this building was not really ideal for sound. So all of that is tuning the sound, and now the sound is great. So truly is beauty from ashes. And then kind of the icing on the cake was, you know, back in the 70s, everything was dark, and, you know, the light fixtures were these black things with iron chains on them. And, you know, the ceiling was really, really dark. And so to get rid of the smoke damage and the fire damage, they did a blasting technique, which I think used like crushed walnut shells and some other things. Anyway, took all that paint off. We looked and thought, man, why did anybody cover this up? So, isn't that nice? And anyway, we could go on and on about that, but we're just so glad to be back in the building. We're glad that you're with us. And just being our first service, we're expecting great things tonight. And, you know, we suggest that you come early for the rest of the services, because it's only going to get more packed. And we have other visitors that are coming from out of town that have told us that. So so we're just excited for what the Lord has for us. And we're looking forward to it, and we're really glad and thankful that you're a part of this. So I just want to welcome a few people. You're all welcome. We want to welcome you all. But we want to give a special greeting to Brother Andrew and Sister Mariah Glover. He's ministering for us tonight, and she's with us tonight, so God bless you. And, of course, Brother Donnie and Sister Carol Reagan. It's so nice to have them with us for Happy Valley Church of Jesus Christ. And Andrew's from Spoken Word Tabernacle in Beaver, West Virginia. Brother Darrell and Sister Cheryl Ward will be with us tomorrow, Lord willing. And we have Brother Jack Duff that's with us from Spirit and Truth Tabernacle, West Palm Beach, Florida. I heard there was a Salazar sighting. Is that true? Oh, right in front of me. There we are. Yeah. God bless you, Brother and Sister Salazar from Espanola, New Mexico. Brother Franklin Machian is here somewhere. There he is. God bless you. So he's from Alaska, so I'm assuming you came down here to get warmed up. Or Brother Andrew, Boy Scout, and his wife are coming, and they've had some storm issues, and so it's been delayed and delayed. And I reminded him, I said, but you're a Boy Scout, so you'll figure it out. Well, you made it, so... Brother and Sister Tate, also from Alaska. I guess it's a good time to be from Alaska, right? Praise the Lord. I just saw Brother Zach Wallace around here somewhere. There he is. God bless you. Nice to have you and your wife with us. And you know what? I only forget names of people that I know. And it's only when I stand up in front of people. Brother Wilson Himbry, God bless you. Nice to have you and your wife with us. Sister Marlene, we share the same birthday, so, right? Yeah. Happy birthday. We just had it, so. Well, and God bless the rest of you. Nice to have the rest of you with us. We also have a brother, Gerardo Estrella from Monterrey, Mexico, his family. God bless you. Dios te bendiga. I even wrote it down, Jeremy. Brother and sister Schreiner, God bless you. Jeremy and Hannah, thanks for having you. And Naomi, it's nice to have you with us. Sister Baker, it's good to see you. We haven't seen too much of each other. We're trying to stay away from one another. So the other part of that chair thing, the chairs came this morning, right? So I'm kind of glad they didn't come last night. So just kind of break that possibility anyway. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we are excited to have our brother Glover with us tonight. And we are expecting. We believe that whatever the Lord has put on his heart, that's what we have need of. And our confidence is completely in him. We know that he gave gifts unto men, and he's still using those gifts. It's up to you to pull on the gift. So let's don't make him work. Let's pull on that gift tonight and get what you came here to get. And let's just have a wonderful time this week. And I think after service tonight, there's refreshments that we're going to have over here in the fellowship hall. If you want to stay in fellowship for a little bit. No, not tonight. Okay, see, we haven't seen each other for a while, so it's that chair thing again. So when does that start? Friday. Okay. So you have to wait till Friday. All right. Just fast until then, all right? For the services. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you wouldn't mind standing tonight as our brother Andrew comes, let's sing that song, I Need You, Lord, I Need You, Lord. How many needs him tonight? I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. So I lift my hands and I bow. I think that's why I'm leaning in. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. Yes, I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now. My knees and words.
your testimony this evening.
Amen.
With him all things are possible. Without him we've gathered in vain. Amen. We know tonight if he comes that healings will take place. Deliverances will take place. Miracles will take place. If he comes in the house. When he comes in the house, death has to flee. Unbelief has to go. Victory comes. Do you believe that? Amen. You love the Lord this evening. Amen. I wonder if we could just bow our hearts and humble our spirits in his presence this evening. And on the first night of this opening of the meetings here this weekend, we've come, no doubt, with many needs in our lives. But I wonder if you'd just turn and take the person's hand standing next to you, brother to brother, sister to sister, husband to wife, in godly order. And let's just ask the Lord to come. And where there's unity, there's power. Where there's division, there is no power. And if we unite ourselves together here this weekend, believing that God is going to meet our needs. Heavenly Father, Lord, as your believing children have gathered themselves together here this weekend, Lord, we have not come for form or fashion. We have not come for ritual, Lord. Father, we have not come to be seen or to be heard, Lord. We have not come to see each other. But Lord, we have come to lift up the name that is above every name. Lord, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every tongue should confess. Oh God, that you are the Lord of heavens and earth. And as we come to you tonight, Lord, we take these few moments of time, Lord, to consecrate our lives to you, to consecrate our hearts to you, Lord. Father, we ask you to come and take complete control of these meetings, Lord. Father, from the first song that is sung to the last prayer that is prayed, Lord, we ask you to have your way. We ask you to, Lord, perform your will. Father, we join together. We lay aside confusions and indifferences, oh God. For, Lord, we have come to see the kingdom of God advance, Lord. And not advance in theology or advance in rituals, but, Lord, to advance in the power of your resurrection. And I pray tonight, Lord, as we join our faith together, we say, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are defeated. You have no authority over God's children. You have no authority over these meetings. And we pray the power of God would come and send revival, Lord. And Lord, where there has been a loss of joy, may joy be restored. And Father, whatever is accomplished in these meetings, we'll be sure to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For it's in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all the believers said, amen. Amen. And may God richly bless you this evening. Amen. It's certainly nice to see everyone out in the house of God. So many of our friends here tonight. God bless you. I don't want to begin calling names because we'll surely miss somebody. But sure is good to be here. And Brother Doug, we sure count it an honor and a privilege to be here with you all in this special time. Glad to have my wife here with me. And I sure count it an honor and a privilege to have her here and to be ministering along God's men of God in this generation that are swinging the sword. Amen. I'm a firm believer that the sword has still got power to cut the head of every devil off. Amen. And there's a strong hand of faith to pick it up and swing it. Amen. And so we say God bless you this evening. If you have your Bibles, we'll invite you to the book of Psalms, the 102nd chapter. We have a few places there we'd like to read this evening. In Psalms 102, verse 16. And while you're turning there, we certainly want to say that we're under expectation of what the Lord is going to do for us in these services this weekend. Psalms 102, verse 16. I have a few places I'd like to read, if that'd be okay this evening. In Psalms 102, verse 16, now David here writing says, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. We know that Zion is a type of the bride. And if you'll catch two words there, when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. You go to Psalms 127, just a few pages over, Psalms 127, David here writing again, and he says in Psalms 127, verse 1, except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it, except the Lord keep the city, then the watchman waketh but in vain. So Psalms 102, you hear the word build up. Psalms 127, he says, the Lord build the house. And then you go to Jude chapter 1 and verse 17, just the little book of Jude there, right before the book of Revelation. In the 17th verse, Jude writing says, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time. I believe we're seeing them. Yeah. Who should walk after their own godly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some having compassion, making a difference, others save with fear, pulling themselves out of the fire, having even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. We ask the Lord this evening to add the blessing to the reading of his word. As you may have your seats for a few moments tonight, I trust that the Lord will give us grace here as we speak to you for a few moments. I'd like to maybe take a thought here for a few moments, and if I would title this tonight, I'd like to speak to you on the accumulation of faith. The accumulation of faith. And I believe with all of my heart that we have gathered here tonight, and it's something when you gather in a meeting, you can feel the expectation in the atmosphere. Amen. I think of when Jesus was riding into town, Brother M said the whole atmosphere, the whole air, everything was charged because Jesus was riding into town. And I think that the devil knows that these meetings are going on this weekend, and the devil is fighting in every aspect he can, every little thing he can do to stop it or upset it or cause something to happen that would cause you to keep from getting something from the Lord. The devil is going to do that, but remember, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if you come here desiring to get something from God, then there's no spirit, there's no devil, there's nothing past, present, or future, amen, that can defeat you from getting what God has got for you to get out of these meetings. And to think in the book of Jude that we would tell us to remember ye the words which were spoken. Brother Bram would pray in the message, what is the Holy Ghost? He said, Lord, there's already been prayer offered in this place tonight. The songs of Zion has been sung by your children. Their hearts has been lifted up, and we have come here to consecrate ourselves to thee and to worship thee from the depths of our soul. And we're calling this to your remembrance, Lord, that you said when you set up on the mountain and taught your disciples, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You promised it, Lord. Now we are coming tonight, amen, with open hearts. We are coming hungering and thirsting, and we know that you'll keep your promise. So we're not coming here hoping, amen, that God is going to keep his promise. We're not coming here hoping, amen, that God is going to do something. But we come here knowing, amen, that we're two or three gathered in his name. He made a promise that he would come and be in the midst of them. And as we have endeavored to open these sacred pages of that Bible, to read it from the continent, he said, may the Holy Spirit just take every heart, and may that seed fall down into deep, rich faith, which will bring forth every promise if the word is made. Hear us, Lord. Amen. And cleanse us and try us. And if there be any unclean thing about us, Lord, any unconfessed sin, anything that's not right, reveal it just now, Lord. And we'll walk right straight and do it, for we realize that we're living in the shadows of the coming of the Lord Jesus. And we have, oh holy God, come in the shadows of that justice tonight. And we are pleading for a new dedication and a consecration and a feeling of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Seeing the revival fires begin to dim down, let us throw on the wood of the word that it might kindle a new fire, that our hearts would be full of zeal, and sanctify us, Lord, through thy precious word and thy blood and thy grace, and all thanks and praise will be thine. And take all prejudice from our hearts and cleanse us, O Lord, and give us pure hearts and clean hands and clean minds. He said that we might come into thy sanctuary night after night, amen, rejoicing and filled with your spirit. Amen. I think tonight, on the first night of these meetings, I think the greatest thing we could do, amen, is pray, Lord, empty out everything of me, amen, empty out every idea, empty out every feeling, empty out every emotion, everything that is contrary to your divine will for these meetings, Lord. I am asking you to empty it out, and I'm asking the same pillar of fire, amen, that filled the upper room to come in my life, amen, and fill me with a desire to serve, and fill me with a new fire. How many could say, Lord, I've not come here for another meeting, I've not come here just to say I was in a meeting, but I have come here that I may be changed, amen, I may be transformed, amen, by the renewing of our mind. Oh, I feel like preaching here for a minute. Amen, because the devil is not going to get the victory. Amen, he might have said he was going to get the victory. Amen, but the prophet of God said the devil is a bluff. Amen, he was a liar from the beginning. He is a liar here tonight. And there is no devil can stop you, amen, from getting a revival if you desire.
desire revival. If you want a revival, amen, you ain't got to beg for it. You ain't got to plead for it. You've just got to accept it. Amen, that it's yours and you can have it right here, right now. Amen, right here, right now. We can be cleansed from all unbelief. We can be cleansed from all sin. We can be cleansed from all doubt. My, then you said, Brother Andrew, why do we come to church? The prophet said, see, the people just think the church is something you go and say, oh, you go there to learn to be good or something like that. That isn't it, friend. No, God is God. Amen. God is God. And He's just as great today as He ever was. And He will always be the same. And we just love Him. Amen. Then that tells me that God is doing some marvelous things. Amen. In this time that we are living in. And may I just go ahead and say, we are blessed to be a part of Him. We don't deserve to be a part of Him. We don't deserve to see the things that God is doing. Amen. But grace, amen, went beyond our failures. Grace went beyond all the things. Amen. Of our lives and made us a part of this. My, then the devil don't like it. Amen. But the devil can't stop it. Amen. And there's one thing about it tonight we find is that Satan is very strategic. Amen. Satan is very strategic and Satan is very deceptive. Brother Bram would say it this way. He would remind us that we should not let Satan get the advantage of us. Amen. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Amen. That's the reason why the devil hates you tonight. Amen. Is because you are not ignorant of his devices. Amen. You're not ignorant of his schemes. You're not ignorant of his plots. You're not ignorant of his plans. Amen. You know that the Word of God has exposed the devil and it's anchored in your heart that the Word of God will defeat the devil anywhere, amen, anytime, any place, under any conditions. The word device means thoughts, a mental perception, an evil purpose, that which someone thinks. Amen. And we find that one of Satan's strategies in the time of trouble is to forget that God is with us. Amen. Amen. One of the things the devil loves to do, amen, is to cause us to forget who is actually here with us. The Bible would say in Romans 1:28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Amen. To do the things which are not convenient. Now, amen, I know we're living in a very troublesome time. We're living in a time of such confusion when politics are confused. Amen, religion is confused. Amen, amen, boys are confused. Girls are, I mean, the whole world is confused. Amen, but let me just go ahead and make an announcement. There is a bride of Jesus Christ that is here in the earth that is not confused. Amen, but she knows where she come from. She knows where she's at and she knows where she's going. Amen, and therefore the cloudy skies are no sign of God's disapproval. Amen. Neither are the bright skies a sign, amen, of his approval. His approval of any of us is in the beloved, that his love is elective, which he had before the foundation of the world. See, does he love us? How shall we know? We shall know because he said so, and he manifested that he did love us, and he brought us to himself and gave us of his spirit, amen, placing us as sons. And how shall I prove my love to him? By believing what he said. Amen. And conducting myself with joy. Amen. Amidst the trials that he allows in his wisdom. Amen. To come to pass. Amen. Now you can't fight with your coat on, so I'm going to take it off. Amen. Because I feel like fighting the devil here for a minute. Amen. The devil says you can only praise God. Amen. When everything's going well. You can only praise God when you're not sick. Amen. And there's no trouble in the church. And there's no confusion. But may I say that is a lie. Amen. Because my Bible says let everything. Praise ye the Lord. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you've been through. Amen. Is there any praisers in the building tonight? It says I was born, amen, to praise God. I may not have it all together, but I serve a God who hung the moon. I serve a God. Brother Andrew, I would praise God if I knew what my future held. I don't know what your future holds, but I know who holds it. Amen. I know who holds my future. And if he holds my future, then he said everything is going to work together for good to them that love him. Amen. We find in 1 Corinthians 10, amen, that the Apostle Paul is going to take time. amen, to write here and show us, amen, Israel's experiences as an example for the church. He's going to warn us, amen, from Hebrew history and life in the wilderness. And he's going to show you that that is a type of the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And they were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat. They did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. He said, neither be idolaters as some were, as it is written, the people that sat down to eat, drank up, and rose to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Now this one I really want to drive home. And neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured. Amen. And were destroyed of the destroyer. Amen. You don't realize what murmuring does in a meeting. Is it okay to preach the first night? Amen. You don't know what murmuring does. Amen. There could be a wonderful meeting with the Spirit of God moving and the Holy Ghost falling, and you let a spirit of murmuring, amen, come among the people, and they'll begin to murmur because they didn't call to get single, and they'll begin to murmur because nobody shook their hand. Amen. But let me remind you, we didn't come here, amen, to see who is a big I and who is a little you. Amen. Let me remind you, there is only one star in the kingdom of God, and that is the bride and the morning star, and his name is Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, church. I think it's time we forget, amen, who's doing the singing. I think it's time we forget who's doing this and remember God is still God and his word is still the truth. And if somebody will just worship him and make him welcome, he will come in and he will tear down every idol. He will tear down every demon. He will defeat every sickness and bring a revival in there. Oh, neither murmur ye. Amen. For they murmured and they were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the world, amen, are come. Now wherefore let him think that he stand, take heed lest he fall. Brother was saying, I'd like to make this statement so it'll be real clear that I do not just come to any meeting just to be seen. I don't come there just to say, well, I want to maybe pray the Lord to give me a message that'll just make the people feel real good and shout. We've had plenty of that. He said, and we appreciate that. That's all right. He said, but the Lord, I come here and I say, Lord, you direct my thoughts in something that'll be a help to the people. Amen. That will place them closer to God. Amen. That'll do something for them that not so much build them up spiritually, what will build them up in the knowledge and the admonition of God, so they'll know how to stand. Somebody shout stand. Amen. Stand. Amen. Let's say it again. Stand. Amen. He said, I preach so they'll know how to stand when the enemy comes. Amen. And when the enemy comes, they'll not bow, but they'll know how to stand. See, amen. It's easy to stand in a meeting. It's easy to stand when everybody's shouting and your preacher is preaching in your ear. Amen. But when you're alone and the devil's coming against you, and there's a possibility that you could open a door, amen, for confusion to come in, amen, that's the time to stand. Amen. It's good to stand in church, amen, but I think of what Paul said when he said, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, Paul said, just stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. May I shout to you tonight, the time has come to make a stand. The days of riding the fence is over. Amen, Brother Jeremy. The days of being in one day and out the next are over. Amen. The days of being saved one day and being lost the next, those days are over. Come on, church. It's time to make a stand. Either we believe this message or we don't. Either it's rapture and faith or it's not. Oh, but as long as I got breath in my body, I'll stand and declare this message is the power of God unto salvation. And it'll still defeat the devil. It'll give you strength to stand when you can't find another reason to stand. Oh, brother, if you're ever going to make a stand for God, make it now. This is the time. Amen. Now's the time when we need it. Oh, Brother Andrew, I'll stand the millennium. We don't need you to stand in the millennium. We need you to stand right now and defy every devil. Oh, the prophet said, I want to go on record in heaven tonight in this audience here. Amen. That I want to go on record and say, I stand for Jesus Christ. I stand for his righteousness. Amen. I stand for this message. Amen. We stand for the supernatural. We stand for the power of God. We stand for shouting. We stand for rejoicing. We stand for Holy Ghost preaching. We stand for prayer lines. We stand for altar calls. We stand for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire that'll take a drunk and it'll make a preacher out of him. We stand for the Holy Ghost. Don't you ever forget, we're not just standing against something, we stand for something. The prophet said the true church gets a revelation of who she is and what she stands for. Not what she stands against, but what she stands for. Amen. Well, she will be an invincible army. What does the word invincible mean? Too powerful to be defeated. Too strong to be torn down. Are y'all hearing me tonight? I'm talking about you. Amen. 30 years ago, we could say that invincible army is coming. Amen. But let's not leave it in the future. Let's bring it to the past and say that invincible army. She's here tonight. Amen. There is a people that cannot be deceived. There is a people that will not bow. There is a people who will just stand. Oh, Brother Andrew, I don't know if I can stand. You got to. You don't have a choice. You got to stand. And then you're here doing what the first Eve couldn't do. Jesus would say, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Then that tells me that the whole church of the living God is built upon spiritual revelation. See, the prophet would say there is nothing of such prevailing power as the revelation of the word. In Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ, amen, Jesus Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. See, and having been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, amen, and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. See, the prophet would say in the stature of perfect man, he would say, Christ never sent me to build organizations. He sent me to build individuals to the stature of Jesus Christ, that they might be the powerhouse and the dwelling place of the Spirit by his word. See, then that tells me you're not here, amen, just to graduate college. Amen. You're not here just to build a business. You're not here just to be a preacher. You're not here just to be a deacon or be a singer. Amen. But God, from before the foundation of the world, ordained you that you would be a powerhouse that the Spirit of God could come into, and wherever God would need you, he could place you there, and out of your life would flow the Spirit of God and would be a channel that the same Holy Ghost that ministered through Paul and William Branham could minister through you. Yes, sir. I want to see, Reverend said, I want to see you rooted and grounded in that holy faith. See, I want you to be solid on the word. That's thus saith the Lord. If it's with the word, stay with it. See, he said, you, if your heart begins to stray around, you know there's something happened, go back to the altar. Well, I know amen, let's just preach. Amen, I know we took the altar out of the church and said, well, it's a Methodist tradition. Amen, but let me just preach to you for a minute. I'm done apologizing, amen, for being who God called me to be. What about you? Amen. Well, Brother Andrew, if we shout, we got to apologize because the Pentecostals shout. And if we have an altar, listen, friends, before the Methodists ever had one altar call, God had one in Genesis 4 between Cain and Abel. Listen, friends, we are not here, amen, stealing from them. They stole it from us. Amen. Because we were the original seed, a part of that original life. Oh, thank God there is a people in the last days who is not a hybrid seed, but they are that original seed. And whatever God's word says, they'll do, they will do it in the face of criticism, in the face of skepticism, in the face of the devil. They will fulfill the word of Almighty God. The prophet said, get back the altar and say, Christ, renew the joy of my salvation. Give unto me that love I once had. Amen. Can I just tell you, that's what meetings are for? That's what meetings are for. They're not to come together and a bunch of preachers sharpen their ideas and see who's out preaching each other. That's nonsense. Meetings are to come together and let the love of God take over our lives again. Let the fire of God come back in the church. If the church has been through a cold spell, you have a meeting to rekindle the fire until the Holy Ghost comes. Oh, come on, church. I'm talking about the fire of God, and my Bible says that the fire of God is an all-consuming fire. Some people just want their feet consumed so they can dance. Some just want their hands consumed so they can clap. Amen. But I say consume me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Let the fire of God fall in this building tonight and consume us, Lord. Consume our eyes. Amen. Consume our mouth. Amen. Consume us, Lord, until we become a built-up individual. My, I tell you, church, the prodigal God said this way. He said, because you're not dependent on your church. You're not dependent on your preacher. You're not dependent on the priest. He said, you're depending on the shed blood of the Lord Jesus, and by grace are you saved. Amen. Then that, what that tells me, Brother Jack, is the bride of Christ is a faith woman.
All right.
Ah, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. See, the prophet says in obedience, this little faith woman that lives by faith, the bride, he said, believes the word of God. She is obedient and she's waiting in love for the promise of the age to be confirmed. She is watching for it. She is a part of the word and she is watching for her life to manifest the word. Amen. That's what we're here this weekend. We're watching, amen, for our lives. Amen. To manifest not another gospel. Amen. Not another Jesus. Amen. But the gospel that Paul preached. Amen. The gospel that William Branham preached. It can still be manifested in this generation. He said, see, the body is waiting for which is the word, waiting for the life, which is the spirit to confirm it or make it live. That's what she's waiting for. No other life will work in her. She can't come to life any other way. She feels it out there. She knows it's going to happen. Then in here it happens and she wakes up and God said, let there be. And she came forth like the first one that come forth. Then that tells me that the bride of Jesus Christ is not barely getting by.
All right.
She's not just barely holding on. Amen. But the Bible says that the bride of Jesus Christ is going to be an abounding bride, which means the bride is going to be full of miracles. She's going to be full of signs. She's going to be full of wonders. She's going to be full of that original faith that brought the word to pass in the beginning. See, Paul would say, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye have an all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He would go on to say, furthermore, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so that ye would abound, amen, more and more. So what the word abound means, it means to exceed a fixed number of measure. Amen. The word abound means to be preeminent, to excel more than what one thought you would. Oh, that's shouting ground right there. Amen. Because the devil has got limits on these meetings. Amen. Can I talk to you? The devil's got limits on these meetings. He's got limits on your praise. He's got limits on how much you're going to get from the service. Amen. But may I tell you, my Bible says that he that has begun a good work is able to finish it. And that word finish means to cancel the devil's plans. Come on, friends. I believe this weekend we're going to tear the devil's kingdom down. I believe this weekend, Brother Jack, the Holy Ghost is going to fall. And the devil said, you will never worship again. And you're going to lift up clean hands. I believe the devil said, you're not going to go in a rapture. But some morning between 6 and 9, you're going to leave here because you was born to go beyond what the devil said you could do. And let me just remind the devil, this ain't his house. This ain't the devil's house. This is God's house. Now come on. In the Reagan house you act one way. Glover rules ain't going to work in the Reagan house. Come on. Duff rules ain't going to work in the Glover house. Are you following me? Because it's a household. There's a name above that house. And the family that's under that name responds to the authority in that name. Oh, brother, sister, the devil's come in and tried to put his name over the church of the living God and said we can't worship. He said we can't praise God. He said we can't have a good old-fashioned St. Paul's revival. He said we can't have the Bible, Holy Ghost. But I want to remind him, this ain't his house. Brother Zachary, this ain't his house. This is the house of God. And if we want to shout, we're going to shout. If we want to pray, we're going to pray. We're not going to be bound by the devil of unbelief. We're not going to be bound by some demon that has no authority over us. There is going to be an abounding church. There is an abounding church. Amen. It amazes me when you look at the word abounding. It is used of a flower going from a bud to a full bloom. Woo, brother. Amen. Then that tells me that God through the Bible has transformed his children from buds to full blooms. Do you know where the beauty is? The beauty's not in just in the bud. Are you following me? Amen. When it comes up as a bud, it's easily stepped on. When it comes up as a bud, you can easily miss it. Come on, brothers. Your wife plants that flower out front and she's worked so hard on it and it finally buds. And you come home and walk right by and she says, did you see my flower? No, I missed it. You know why? Because when it's in bud form, it ain't got a lot of power to catch your attention. But when it comes to full bloom, you can't walk by without noticing it. Amen. And I want to tell you, we've not come here, amen, to be a bunch of stiff-necked, starchy people. We have come here to let the devil know you're not going to miss us. We are here, and we're not going nowhere. Oh, come on, friends. How many would agree with me some morning? We're going to leave this world, and we're not leaving our family behind. We're not leaving our church behind. We're not leaving our children behind. We're not leaving a hoof behind. We are taking everything with us. God is desiring to take us from being a bud to being a full bloom. You see, there is a time then to build up. This is a time, amen, to be built up in the revelation. The Bible says to everything there is a season, and to every purpose under the heaven, there is a time to kill, there is a time to heal, there is a time to break down. Then he says, and a time to build up. Amen. Somebody say build up. There are things, amen, that we must tear down. There are things that must be torn down. But I want you to remember, there are things that we must also build up. Amen. There are things that when we tear certain things down, we tear sin down. Can you say amen? We tear off. But remember, there are some things that's got to be built up. And I think of how that the word build up means to establish or to rebuild or to cause to continue. Now watch something. I think it's amazing how that we're gathered here, amen, for a 25th meeting of fellowship in this area. I think it's amazing of how, amen, that this meeting has been established upon the purpose of the message of the hour. Is that okay? Amen. Then the message of the hour came to restore us back to the original faith. Malachi 4:6 would say, he shall turn the hearts of the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite them with the curse. Jude 1:3 would say, I was going to give diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, but it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Now that's not Jude's faith. Amen. But Leo, that's not Paul's faith. Amen. That's not a man's faith. That's the faith of Jesus Christ. Right. Is that right? In the restoration of the bride tree, one of them, Martin Luther, he began to shine a light. There was little light, just a very small strength of justification. Along came Wesley, stronger sanctification. Then Wesley come the stronger than he in Pentecost. Then the baptism of the Holy Ghost and another great prophet. But in the last days of Malachi 4, Elijah is to come with the very word. The word of the Lord comes to the prophet. He said, in the evening lights is to come forth and to restore and bring back what? Turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of God. See, what is it? It's that fourth light to call out a bride out of the Gentiles for his name's sake, to take out of them a people for his name. Rabbi said, no, but by him, he said, not by the she-goat sacrifice, but by him, the manifested word of the ram, for he is the word. See, the ram being not called, he said, not called by her name, but called by his name. Then that tells me, as the family of God, we're not under a preacher's name. Amen. We're not under a denominational name. Amen. But here this weekend, we are under the name of our Father, and that is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
the royal seed would see it. See, can't you see Malachi 4 coming to pass? Restore back to the original faith, the word of God. Surely you people can see that. He said, we won't have to make it any plainer. Let that denomination go. Man, get back the word. And the voice of the last day and the sign of the last day is to swing the people back to the original faith. Malachi 4 said so, to bring the people back to the word. See, then what that tells me, amen, is if we get back to the word, amen, then no matter what we come up against, we're going to come through it. If we come back to the word, no matter what false doctrine raises up, the word will defeat it. Amen. If we get back to the word, then no matter how much trouble we are confronted with, the word is going to take us through. Is that all right? Amen. The word is going to take us through. Can I just preach to you for a minute? Amen. Why are you all sitting here tonight? Amen. I'm looking at people here that's been through hell. You've been through troubles. You've been through hurts. You've been through disappointments, but you're still in the house of God. Why are you still here? Because this message took you beyond the feeling. It took you beyond the sensation. It took you beyond the emotion, and it brought you back to the landmark of the word. And you can raise up your hands and say, heaven and earth shall pass, but my word shall never pass away. Oh, brother, we're here tonight. Amen. Can we just take some time and rejoice that we're here tonight? Brother Doug, we shouldn't be here, but we're here tonight. Amen. Brother Leo, we shouldn't be in our right mind, but we're here tonight. We should still be preaching this message, but we're here tonight. The devil thought he had us, but we're here tonight. Oh, come on, church. When you see that you're here because there's a seed in you that cannot be defeated, it'll put a praise on your lips. It'll put an amen in your heart. If it hadn't been for the Lord, Brother Jim, if it hadn't been for the Lord, then where would we be tonight? If it hadn't been for the Lord, we wouldn't be here tonight. Amen. But come on, friends, quit worrying about why you shouldn't be here and start enjoying the fact that you're here. I ain't gonna let the devil rob you of a blessing this weekend. Well, I could worry about, come on, friends. I got here last night, got the hotel room. They left my suitcase out in the rain. Everything I had was wet. Suits were wet. Ties were wet. Everything had to seem close. You know what? I could come in here and spend an hour telling you about how bad it was and how sad I was and how tore up I was. Or I could just come here and say, devil, you didn't win. See, you say, well, that's simple. Well, what tried to stop you from getting here? Maybe it was car trouble. Maybe it was a job problem. But let's remember, we're here. Amen, we're here. So let's enjoy the fact we're here. The word brought us here. My, to think of that, you'll begin to rejoice as a church to know that any church that is established for any amount of time has gone through some seasons. Amen. They've been through the mountaintops. They've been through the valleys. They've been across the desert. Amen. And as a church, you begin to accumulate things. Now, amen, you take this individually tonight, okay? Amen. As a church, as an individual, you begin to accumulate things. You say, what does the word accumulate mean? Accumulate means to gather together or to inquire an increasing number or quantity or gradually gather or acquire. See, it means build up. Amen. Now, when you think of that, all the things you've been through are things that can build up in your life to take you out. But remember, at the same time that the devil is putting you through things to take you out, God puts something in you to bring you through. Is that okay? At the same time that, woo, glory. At the same time the devil's trying to take you out, God reserved a seed. That's a quote. And he put that seed in your soul. And he hid that seed from the devil. Amen. And no matter what you go through, the devil don't realize, though they destroy this flesh, amen, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Though they destroy your nerves and they try to tear your mind apart, remember one thing. If there is a seed in you, then there is nothing past, present, or future that will stop you from coming to the stature of a perfect man. See, amen, I think of how that there was a man one time who got weary serving the Lord. Anybody ever get weary of serving? I won't say weary of serving the Lord, but you get weary in serving the Lord. You go through some, is this okay? You go through some things, and those things begin to wear at you. They begin to tear you down. And there was a man got there one time, and the man got so low that he said, you know what, I'm going to quit serving God. I'm just going to throw up my hands. I'm going to quit. I can't take another day. Amen. Maybe he was a preacher. I don't know. He said, I can't preach another sermon. Maybe he was a singer. He said, I can't sing another song. But Brother Leo, he had been through something that pushed him so low that he said, I'm going to quit serving God. He said, but before I quit, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to pray and I'm going to thank God for all the things he'd done for me. He said, because it wouldn't be polite not to thank him. And he went in his bedroom and he got down on his knees and he said, Lord, I'm going to quit serving you. And Lord, I can't take another day. He said, but before I quit, I want to thank you for some things. He said, Lord, I want to thank you for saving my soul. He said, I want to thank you for healing my body. He said, I want to thank you for putting food on the table when I didn't have money to buy food. He said, I want to thank you for giving me a wife. I want to thank you for giving me kids. I want to thank you for all the things you've done. And before he got done thanking God, his testimony changed. And he said, Lord, you've done too much for me to quit now. You've done too much for me to quit serving you now. Amen. Let that be this meeting this weekend. Right now, begin to accumulate in your heart all the mountains that he brought you over, all the tunnels that he brought you through, all the trials. Oh God, I just want to praise him for a minute. Anybody want to join me? Do you just want to take a moment and say, thank you, God. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for healing my body. Thank you for giving me the Holy Ghost. Thank you for revealing this message to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, come on, church. Somebody just shout, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You brought us through a lot, but we just want to say thank you. We want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can't quit. He's done too much. I can't give up. Oh, come on, church. I'm talking about Jesus. He's done too much for you. Let the devil get the victory over your life. See, in other words, what that man done was he accumulated in his heart all the things that God done. May I just get personal here and ask you a question? What are you accumulating? What are you accumulating in your heart? For the Bible says, lay not up treasures up on the earth where moths and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures. Amen. There's a preaching anointing here tonight. Amen. I studied the other day where Brother Bram talked about coming out of Oral Roberts University. You realize David said in Psalms, he said, I have a goodly heritage, which is interpreted as a spiritual heritage, which if you study it, you'll find is an eternal heritage, which is an eternal inheritance. You realize, Brother Bram, come out of Oral Roberts University, and he looks around, and he sees a marble table. He sees a big office, and he sees all this, and he comes out, and he says, Lord, maybe you can't trust me with this. Maybe you cannot trust me with this. A man whose ministry came off of mine, and maybe, Lord, you can't trust me. And the prodigal said, he came out so discouraged. He said, but then the Lord spoke and said, but look up. Look up. He said, when I looked up, I heard a voice, Brother Wilson, and that voice said, I am your portion. Brother Leo, I caught something there. I caught something steady, man. Brother Ben was looking at a marble table that in a few minutes could be destroyed, but he would meet Rosella Griffin on the other side. Are you hearing me? Amen. That building could catch on fire in a few moments, and Oral Roberts University could be gone. Amen. But he was going to meet Hattie Wright's two boys on the other side. Are you hearing me, church? In a few moments, every book that Oral Roberts used could have been gone. But he had a promise that he was going to sit at the marriage supper. Oh, come on, church. I'm not talking about natural things. Brother Kenny, I'm talking about eternal things. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about your church. I'm talking about something that matters. Lay not up for yourselves treasures. Don't accumulate things where in just a few moments. And no, I'm not preaching against having something.
All right.
There's a balance.
All right.
See, when what you have has you, then it shouldn't.
Amen. Amen.
You see what a treasure is? It's where your heart is. Then what we find then, oh my, I've got to hurry. We find then that our heart actually becomes a storehouse. For Paul would say, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. See, then Brother Bram's going to come. Amen. Now, You preached my foundation through me, so let me. Y'all was preaching me tonight. But I finally got to my fault here. Amen. Brother Bram says in spiritual food, I want you to get built up now in the holy oracles of God, in the faith. The faith of this hour. See, the faith, it's going to take more faith than ever was in any age. For this is, has to be a rapturing faith. See, and so we want you to believe tonight. Right now, not tomorrow night, amen, not Saturday night, but right now, tonight, we want you to believe in all that you have seen, all that you have heard, the word that you have heard preached, the signs and wonders that you have seen done, and we want you to accumulate all that together in your heart. Notice he didn't say in your head, but he said in your heart. And consider it. Listen, friends, when we see God do something, amen, can I preach? When we see God do something, it shouldn't be remembered as long as it's a testimony over the pulpit. But every day of your life, you should be remembering what God has done for you. You should remember when you didn't have a praise, he gave you one. You should remember when the doctor gave you a bad report, but the great physician, the sympathizing Jesus, came by and said you were healed by my stripes. Remember that tonight. Are you all hearing me? Let me, and don't take this disrespectful, okay? But if there wasn't one musician here to play this music, if there wasn't one light turned on, if there wasn't a sound system in this building, and we come here and begin to simply remember all that God has done for us. Are y'all hearing me? If we come here, if you pulled up tomorrow night and forgot that you didn't get your Starbucks on the way to church, if you get here tomorrow night and forget all the things you've been through, but remember one thing, I'm here. And consider that, was it God or not? And if it's not God, then you've got every right to fold your arms. If it's not God, you've got every right to get mad when the preacher says clap your hands. But if it is God, if it is God, then don't you think God deserves some praise? Don't you think God deserves some adoration? Glory to God. Don't you think God deserves a hand raise? Don't you think God deserves a praise? He didn't have to do it, but he did. He didn't have to die, but he did. He didn't have to save us, but he did. Oh, come on, friends. The devil thought he had you, but he didn't get you. Who done it, Brother Jack? God did it. When I consider all the things I've been through, I remember that God brought me through. When the devil tried to destroy this building, we're sitting in it tonight. Well, I feel like preaching here for a minute. You know what I think we ought to do? I think we ought to break this building in this weekend. Don't you? Brother, don't you think we ought to break this building in? Don't you think we ought to let this building know we still got a praise? Don't you think we ought to let this pulpit know there's still a Holy Ghost word? This is time to let go and let God have his way. Forget what you've been through. Forget what tomorrow holds. And remember, God brought you here. Oh, praise God. You shouldn't be here tonight, but God brought you here. And when that begins to accumulate, when a man begins to think, you realize when a man begins to think what he's doing, he's accumulating. Think means to reason out. Now the prophet said the devil chose a man's head, but God chose a man's heart. See, that's why Brother Bim said, let these things accumulate in your heart. See, you believe God by faith. Then that tells me there's actually two types of accumulation. There is a negative accumulation, but then there is a positive accumulation. Now, I'm going to preach here for a minute. Because I didn't come here this weekend. We didn't come here this weekend to get together and cry and carry on. Oh, Brother Andrew, I tell you, one time somebody walked by me and they didn't shake my hand. Brother Doug called everybody's name, but he didn't call mine. See, take that somewhere else. We ain't babies here. We're sons and daughters of God. Listen, we didn't come here this weekend to remember all the bad days that this church has had. Is that okay? We didn't come here to remember all the problems. Listen, every church goes through trouble. Every assembly has hard times. But we didn't come here this weekend to remember all the bad times. We didn't come here to remember when so-and-so was mad at. We didn't come here. We come here for one thing, to remember that for 25 years, the Holy Ghost has been falling in this meeting. For 25 years, there has been a faithful pastor preaching this message. That's, oh, come on, church. My Bible says, look what the Lord has done and rejoice. You see, you gotta come to a place that you forget everything that's negative. And finally, brother, whatsoever things are pure, are honest, are just, are lovely, are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, then think on these things. See, never let a negative thought pass through. Don't let it stop. If it starts, you keep your thoughts positive. You keep your thoughts on Jesus. See, by dwelling on the negative, amen, then you are giving access to the negative things to get to you and to get into you, and then you become accumulated with negativity. See, but by dwelling, amen, am I holding you too long? By dwelling on the positive, you are giving access to the positive things to get to you and into you, and then you become accumulated, or you become charged, amen, with positive things. Oh God, friends, this may not be something deep, but it's coming from my heart tonight. Hear me. It's time to quit focusing on the negative. It's time to quit it. Come on. It's time to forget what somebody said and how somebody misdone. Oh, forget it tonight, church. Put it behind you and move forward. You've got to. Your family needs you to. Your church needs you to. You've got to bury the past. Put it behind you. Forget it ever even happened. Brother Doug, we can't change it. We can't go back and change it. But we can go forward. We can leave the past behind us. And we can go forward. Anybody want to go forward? Anybody want to go forward? Who, two or three, agree as touching any one thing, like on the earth, it shall be done. If you agree and I agree, we're going forward. If you agree and I agree, we're... Are you hearing me? What's happening? The power of agreement. We're agreeing. The past is behind us. There's a revival in front of us. There's a miracle in front of us. There's a deliverance in front of us. Come on, baby. Pick up the slingshot. Victory is just around the corner. The rapture's not behind us. It's in front of us. I don't like the negative thing. I don't like the negative side. I like to be on the positive side. That's you, Brother Andrew. No. That's a quote. Remember, said, I don't like the negative side. But people love it. But the seventh angel is going to show you a connection between your obedience and your confession. He's going to show you that your body obeys your confession. And he's going to show you, amen, can I have some liberty here? There is a difference in hope and faith.
He's going to show you that hope puts the fulfillment in the future. But faith brings it present tense. See, the prophet said, but you don't know what it is. It's hope instead of faith. Faith does the job right now. Hope for it. Amen. But there's only one way we can get positive faith. That's by thinking on positive things. Now, how many knows Romans 4? Brother said, that's the scripture I read when I get the blues. And what does Romans 4 say? Who against hope believed in hope and being not weak in faith, considered, accumulated. Not his own body is dead. Neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. But he staggered not at the promise of God. But was strong, giving praise and glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. See, the prophet said, oh, the more you love him, and the more you love him, the more faith you will accumulate. Let me remind you, we are not the recipients of Abraham's hope, but we are the recipient of Abraham's faith. Do you notice Abraham did not accumulate negative things? He didn't go get all the CT scans and hang them up on the wall and look at them every day. He didn't consider the fact. Amen. I'm not going to preach on that. Amen. Stay with me for a second. He didn't consider the fact that Sarah's, that her milk veins were dried up and there was no, he didn't consider that. But the prophet said he went and bought a crib. He bought a diaper bag. He bought baby clothes. He was accumulating. Are y'all hearing me? He was not accumulating the negative. He was accumulating faith. Because he knew, if God made me the promise, then God's going to give me the promise. You see, are you hearing me tonight? What faith does then is faith embarrasses Satan. If you would release your faith in this meeting this weekend, you'll embarrass the devil. Brother, if you release your faith, you say, Brother Andrew, that ain't going to embarrass the devil. Well, the prophet said Moses' mother released her faith, and when she did, that embarrassed Satan. He said she heard, and she went and put that baby in a basket, and he said, oh, if we could only accumulate that kind of faith tonight, get that kind of faith living among us, mainly moving in our beings, moving through the church, not just the emotional faith, but a real solid faith that won't take no for an answer. But knows that God said so, and that settles it. Oh, come on, church. Let's kick the devil tonight, and let's remind him. You say, I want to be healed. I'm going to be healed. And the devil says, no. You say, God said so. You say, I want a forgiveness of sin. And the devil says, no. You say, God said so. Come on, friends, you got to get bold with the devil. If you want to have a revival, you got to get bold with him. Amen. Faith is our victory over all things. Now, amen, I'm going to labor here, and we're not going to go to the fellowship hall. We're going to go somewhere and eat. But I'd rather eat this for a few more minutes. As Christians, things are going to happen to us. Let's just face it. They're going to happen to us. Amen. The Bible says that time and chance happeneth to them all. The Bible would say in Luke 17:1, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. See, offenses are going to come. But let me remind you, we were not made to be a storehouse for offenses. You see, the forgotten beatitude is going to deal with the spirit of offense. Matthew 11:6 says, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. That a blessed man is not an offended man. Now, I thought that one up on my own. I thought that's pretty good for a West Virginia boy. A blessed man is not an offended man. See, because he's too busy thinking about his blessings. He ain't got time to worry about his offenses. That's shouting ground right there for somebody. Amen. Offended means to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one whom we ought to trust and obey. It means to see in another what I disapprove of and what hinders me from acknowledging his authority. See, it means to cause one displeasure out of faith. That's exactly what happened to John. He became offended and he was put in jail. Do you see what his offense was? He was in a prison of offense. The prophet of God said, see, people are more offended in Jesus than any other person. He said they were so offended. When John said the worst thing he could about Jesus, then Jesus turned and said the best thing he could about John. See, he says, notice here, John, amen, was doubting, amen, but if he was here to speak tonight, he would tell you the same thing that he told John. He's right on schedule. Can I labor here for a minute? Because we get weary when our miracle don't come right when we think it should. But let me remind you, amen, that miracle's coming. Amen. It's on God's calendar. It's going to happen. You just keep on believing. Oh, come on, friends. One of these days, you're going to step into that miracle. Can I just go ahead and say it? I believe this weekend, we're going to step into miracle after miracle. Oh, come on, friends. There's people around the world tonight that needs miracles, but there's people here that needs miracles. And if we can just lift up the name of Jesus, we shall see those miracles. Our world is full of offended people. But the danger is when our churches become full of them. See, people yield themselves to the spirit of offense. Now listen, the meeting going on, an evil spirit in the meeting, that spirit is almost harmless. Until it can catch somebody that it can work through. Then when it can work through, it'll certainly do damage because it is an evil spirit. Watch their works and watch their fruits. Then we have an entire sermon called From That Time. Do you realize every individual that Brother Bram talks about allowed the devil in? And when one demon come in, another demon come in? Now let's just slow down here for a minute. We'll close. But let's get all the channels cleaned out tonight. What do you say on the first night of this meeting? We get all the channels cleaned out. Brother Bram said, Legion let one thing happen. He told a lie, devil come in. And before long, he was accumulated with devils. Until those things drove him out of his mind and drove him into the tombs. I'm just preaching from my heart for a minute. That spirit of offense ain't going to stop with you. It's going to keep on going. It'll go into your children. It'll go into their children. Well, I may have just killed the meeting all in one night right here, but let's just preach for a second. Amen. You don't realize what that thing will do. It'll destroy. But why don't we destroy it before it destroys us? Do you realize that, and as an evangelist, you hear some things that's kind of interesting. Amen. In traveling and preaching, you hear people talk about things, and it amazes me, amen, that something could happen. And I'm not getting personal, I'm just preaching. But something could happen in the church 50 years ago. And kids, it wasn't even born, is rehearsing what happened 50 years ago. Wasn't even born when it happened. Amen. But they were so inspired to keep. Amen. But at the whole time, they could have been accumulating faith. Let me just bring this to a close here and say, amen, that the devil had a good home church in Legion. Amen. Because Legion opened himself up to him. That's what Brother said. He said that remember, Christ is depending on us. He's depending on us to be a channel of human instrumentality that he can work through. And let's just say this. We're not the first person to be offended. And what you'll do is you'll either let faith accumulate or you'll let unbelief accumulate. The prodigal of God says that little lady sitting right there, second one in the right back there, she's bothered with nervousness too. Is that right, lady? See what I mean? The demon knows if that woman will halfway believe for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and I'm his prophet, that'll have to leave her. And that demon was calling to help for another, for help to accumulate unbelief. But he's lost the battle. And I'm going to go ahead right now and start waving the white flag of victory that the devil has lost the battle. He's already lost. He's not going to get the final say. You say, Brother Andrew, then show me an example of someone who can go through something and not be offended. Okay, Congressman Upshaw. Do you realize in the early 1900s, medicine was nowhere near where it is today? Do you realize that as an 18-year-old boy, William Upshaw fell and broke his spine and become an invalid? And he was an invalid, but if you read history, to be an invalid at the turn of a century was worse than anyone could imagine. But there was an 18-year-old boy, notice, who come to terms that he may never walk again. And the next 7 years would be spent in his bed. But eventually, he would learn to walk again with crutches called his little buddies. Uh-huh. Remember said, no, or rather here, reading a little bit of history of this, he faced challenges. But I love how this says, but he built inner strength. When nobody's around to encourage you, David said, sometimes you just got to encourage yourself. See, William Upshaw became famous for three phrases. The first one was, let nothing discourage you. The second one was, never give up. I love this third and final one, Brother Jeremy. It was, God will heal me. It just isn't time yet. Oh. Glory to God. Amen. It wasn't time as a 7-year-old boy. It wasn't time as an 18-year-old boy. Or as an 18-year-old boy. It wasn't time for 7 years. Amen. But on February the 8th, 1951. In a meeting in Los Angeles, California, a prophet said, I started to go back, and the pastor ran up and I said, go tell the congressman that God has healed him. And I seen him go walking away. Amen. And here he is, the congressman of the United States that was crippled for 66 years. For 66 years, he dealt with this, but he never accumulated offenses. Oh, I'm going to close my Bible here. If I don't, I'll preach all night. He never allowed offenses to accumulate, but he always said, never give up. Never give up. God will heal me. It just isn't his time yet. But John, the 5th chapter, said there was a man that sat by the pool. Amen. But at a certain season. Wake up here. At a certain season, the Bible says an angel would come and would trouble the water. But do you realize when it came his season, it wasn't an angel, but the Lord himself. Are you all hearing me? We can't afford to become offended because we don't know at what minute our miracle is going to take place. Well, Brother Andrew, a preacher offended me. Brother Andrew said he had sat in there all kinds of powerful preachers. Oral Roberts, Brother Freeman. He said they had all tried. But this night was a different night. Can I drive this home by saying this meeting is a different meeting? You know how I know Congressman Upshaw didn't have the spirit of offense? After all the people that have no doubt with powerful ministries that said, Congressman, it's time for you to get up and walk. And time after time after time he'd been let down. You know how I know he wasn't offended? When a prophet said, I see you falling from a hay bale. And he tells him everything right down to detail. The prophet of God said, Congressman Upshaw jumped up. Hallelujah. Ran up to the platform. Hallelujah. He didn't get up and say, well, let's try it again. Here's another one, just another preacher, just another meeting, just another, that accumulate unbelief. No. He jumped up. Remember, he said he ran up there and he got the microphone and he wanted to testify and he wanted to say these words, I'm healed. For 66 years, in just a few moments of time, he was healed. But he never let a spirit of offense get a hold of him. Oh, come on, friends. We can't stop offenses, but we can stop them from getting in us. How many will agree with me tonight? It's time to clean out the channels. It's time to clean out the channels. Oh, come on, friends. Pick up the shovel tonight. You want some water this weekend? You want some water this weekend? Clean out the channels. Clean it out. Forget the past. Forget it. It's behind you. Brother Leo, it's behind you. But your miracle is here. Oh, your miracle is not coming. Your miracle is here. But you've got to let go of it. You've got to let go of it. There's some things you just got to. Do you love him tonight? Amen. He said, see what it was. It was his season. A supernatural season. Brother, we're in a supernatural season. We don't have time to worry about what happened in the past. Brother Doug, is this okay? Do you realize people accumulate things that they don't need? I'm just going to close right here. I was in a prayer line one night. A person came up for a prayer. They said, Brother Andrew, they said, preacher offended me 22 years ago. 22 years ago. A preacher offended me. I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, if you stick around, there'll be another one. Do it. We're human. Brother Jim, there was something different about this one. She said she still had the cassette tape of where he offended her.
Wow.
And she still listened to it from time to time.
Good.
Now you're laughing. And it's comical.
Keep it real.
But it's real. Yeah. People, they accumulate things. We all do.
That's right.
Sure.
Well, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Spiritual hoarders. Y'all gonna think I'm a long-winded preacher. I'm trying to quit. Spiritual hoarders. Collecting things that you don't need. Do you realize what a hoarder is? It's a person with a persistent difficulty of discarding or parting with possessions because of a perceived need to save them. They perceive the idea that they need to save that. Now, brothers, look straight ahead here. Because you know you got stuff in your garage that should have been gone 50 years ago or 20 years ago. I got a garage full too. But you know how spiritual hoarding starts? By saying these words, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix it. Now it's comical, but is it not the truth? I'm going to fix it. And you know what? Before long, something else breaks. Well, I'm going to fix it. Or they say, we might use that sometime. But let me just go ahead and tell you, you're not going to use that bad attitude anytime in a good way. You're not going to use that offense anytime in a good way. Why not tonight get rid of it? Why not right here on the first night of this meeting, you take that old thing that's been tormenting. You realize what hoarding does? My grandfather was a contractor, and as a kid, when I worked with him, my job was to go around and pick up things that he thought we might use in the future. Then we would take it to the shop and we would store it in the building. I'm closing here, but I want you to hear this. We would store it in the building. And then you know what? Before long, that building got to where there was only a path to get through it. You know what? Brother John, you couldn't go in there and operate the way you wanted to. And you know what really drove this home to me, Brother Jack, was one day he got mad because he couldn't operate the building like he wanted to. And he was the one putting it in there. And he turned around to me and he said, Andrew, and he said, it's my own fault. He said, I'm going to get a dumpster and I'm going to clean this thing out. And I say tonight, the Holy Ghost has backed a spiritual dumpster up to this building tonight. Throw it away. You're not going to use it when this meeting's over. Throw it away. You don't need it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's keeping you from praising God like you want to. It's keeping you from saying amen like you want to. It's keeping you from raising your hands like you want to. So go ahead and get rid of it. Love, divine fellowship, get rid of it. You wasn't born to wear the garment of heaviness. You was born to wear the spirit of praise. Shake it off tonight. Shake off that offense. Shake off that discomfort. Shake it off tonight. Get rid of it. And can I give you, now we can talk about things. Okay. We're here for a meeting, right? We can talk about things. You said, Brother Andrew, you don't realize all the things we've been through. We can't go on.
We've allowed that to accumulate. But let me remind you. Ask your pastor to send these to me today. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he also do. And greater works than these shall do, because I go to my Father. In 1965, William Branham was standing in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and say, Jeffersonville, consider. Since that day on the river, all the things you've seen God do in this ministry. He said, and then consider. And he turned around and said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled. Do you notice he didn't stand and say, consider what Dr. Davis told me, and consider when they said that this would be a car garage in a few days. And no, he had done forgot all that. And love divine, can I get you to consider or accumulate some things? What about the brother that staggered out of church to his vehicle and died a few minutes later? And a sister who was a nurse confirmed he passed and was calling 911. And after prayer, the Lord brought him back and asked the nurse who he was calling and told her to hang up the phone. That's your church. I got that from your pastor. What about a boy's forearm who was slammed in a van door outside the church and it was visibly broken, but the Lord miraculously healed it on the spot? What about severe migraines that has been healed instantly? What about a brother's hearing being restored in his deaf ear through the preach of the word? What about Brother Doug's dad being healed of cancer twice? What about the brother that had a major heart attack? Only a small percentage of his heart muscle was receiving blood and portions were dead. And the reporting surgeon said there was little hope and said they did what they could and he was faint. And he was told, we're looking to our great physician to see. And the Lord healed him and the doctors knew it was a supernatural intervention. What about Brother Doug's dad on his deathbed with major internal bleeding and tumors and Parkinson's disease, and then just a few days the whole trace of that be gone? What about breast tumors and other tumors disappeared from many sisters after prayer on several different occasions? Are you hearing me? I'm talking to you. I didn't come to talk about what you've been through. I come to talk about what God's done in this church. What about several sisters who conceived children after prayer had been conceived in years of trying? What about a wife's back who was broken and could not walk and was taken to the hospital by an ambulance, and after prayer in the x-ray room, she walked out of the hospital? Let's remember that. Amen. What about missing lens and iris or miraculous who created in an eye that was defective from birth and the sister immediately saw through that eye for the first time after prayer? What about countless of demons that have been cast out on occasions through the prayer of preaching the word, spirits seen leaving the building? Are you hearing me? What about lost items being found after prayer? Accumulate. Put these things in your heart and remember who done it. Brother Doug didn't do it. I didn't do it. Brother Reagan didn't do it. Brother Doyle and Brother Jack didn't do it. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he did it, and he deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. God did it. God did it. God did it. God did it. Remember, if he brought you this far, he'll take you the rest of the way. Won't you stand up on your feet and give God some praise? Give him some praise. Worship him. Worship him. Magnify him. Break this building in. Remember. Remember. Musicians come. Remember. Remember the several supernatural experiences while preaching on the street downtown Tucson. Remember that. Remember when the Lord showed the pastor a church in a dream and let him know it was their building. And the church was seen later by the pastor when a realtor from the church saw it and asked the pastor to come and see it. And the asking price was more than the pastor felt we could afford. And after prayer, the pastor moved to offer lower price, was moved to offer lower specific down payment. And the church was clearly worth more. And the realtor did not want to make the effort because he felt it was a waste of time. But the Lord moved. Are y'all hearing me? I'm talking about God. The Lord moved. Friends, I feel that devil coming at me right now. You're just trying to work us up. I condemn that devil in the name of Jesus Christ. I condemn it with everything in me. I'm not working you up. I'm building you up. I'm building you up in the faith of Jesus Christ to believe if God did it then. Brother Doug, he's going to do it again. If he healed you once, Sister Jennifer, he'll heal you again. Oh, glory to God. And the Lord.
Lord moved in a sister from another church and a sister from our church to supply the exact amount of the pastor for the down payment and for the closing expenses. And no one but the realtor and a trustee had been told. They were looking at the church and were making an offer on it. Can I cap these off? And what about all the lives that were turned around? What about all the lives? What about all the lives? What about all the children? What about all the lives that was turned around by the grace of Almighty God? Oh, church, it's overcoming power. It's going to keep us. Quit worrying about it. If he done this for you, he'll do it again. You say, "Well, Andrew, I'm a visitor. This is not my church." Well, we're here to rejoice with this church. We're here to give God praise. Brother, we're here to give him praise. We're going to forget all the bad days. I'm just going to go in right now and just claim this meeting for the glory of God. We're going to forget all the bad days. We're going to forget all the hurt feelings. We're going to forget all the situations. We're going to forget all the troubles. We're going to forget all the problems. We're going to forget what I never taught. We're going to forget this weekend. We're going to forget it. And we're going to remember that God is still God. And his word is still the truth. And he's still here. He's here. He's here. Let it go tonight. Lay it aside tonight. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, I condemn you for the glory of God. Take your hands off of God's property. In the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, just raise your hands now. Just raise your hands before the King of Kings. It's the Lord doing this. It's the Lord doing this. It's the Lord healing. It's the Lord preserving. It's the Lord keeping. It's the Lord speaking. It's the Lord forgiving. It's the Lord redeeming. I'm sorry, but I'm going to beat this devil down with everything within me. This is not a man. This is God. This is God. This is God. Brother Bumpkin, this is God. This is God that's been with you. Brother Jim, it's God that's been with you. It's God. Brother Wilson, it's been God. Brother Doug, it's God. Why don't we just rejoice for a minute? Why don't we just worship Him? Why don't we just praise Him? Why don't we just love Him? What's wrong with giving Him some love? What's wrong with thanking Him for all that He's done for us? God done it. God done it. God done it. I claim this meeting for the glory of God. I claim this meeting for lives to be changed. I claim this meeting for the Holy Ghost to fill this room. I claim it. Can you claim it with me? Brother Jeff, can you claim it with me? Amen. Can you claim it with me, Sister Patty? Amen. Can you claim it with me, church? We claim this meeting tonight. We claim that God is going to speak. We claim that He's speaking. We claim that lives are going to be changed. We claim it tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. We claim it tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ. We claim it tonight.